Covenant Blessings Part 2, Genesis chapter 48 and verse 1 to 22. A dying man has in his last moments of life a testimony to a legacy to leave behind for his people, his own family members, for his posterity. One day, each one of us will be lying in our sick bed, perhaps, and the day will come when our family members will be gathering around us as we would be ready to depart from this world to go to heaven. What will be your thoughts? What will be in your mind? In this text from Genesis 47 verse 26 to 31 and Genesis chapter 50 verse 1 to 50 is recorded the funeral of Jacob. In his last days, Jacob called his children to him and pronounced covenant blessings made with Abraham his grandfather and renewed with his father Isaac and passed on to him. It is now time for him to renew God's covenant with the children. And we study this conversation with the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh here in our text in Genesis 48 verse 1 to 22. We shall also see in the subsequent 2 weeks God's blessing through Jacob to his other children. Why is it so significant? When Abraham died, well, there was not an elaborate time whereby he speaks concerning his posterity. So was it not with Isaac, but for Jacob. It was last words that span 3 chapters in the closing book of Genesis. You would see here how he would speak concerning Reuben, his firstborn, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. From Genesis 49, verse 1 to 12. So you just make a note so that you would be able to follow, right, as we see Jacob speaking to each one of the children specifically concerning their future. And with Zebulun and Issachar and Dan from Genesis 49, verses 13 to 17. With Gad, Asher, and Naphtali from Genesis 49, verse 18 to 21. And with Benjamin and Joseph from Genesis 49, verses 22 to 28. The book of Genesis ends in Genesis 50, verse 16 to 26, with the death of Joseph and the promise of Joseph to his brethren after their father's death, that they may remain in the land of Goshen. And that's significant. The time is drawing nigh that Israel must die. And as he put in order concerning his burial, and for the people of God, indeed, we need to pass instructions to our family members concerning how our bodies is to be laid to rest. The Bible teaches us that we are to bury our dead, not to cremate. And the Lord teaches us so that we may understand the doctrine of the resurrection. We may understand the meaning of committing the body to the ground, awaiting the resurrection and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Israel, his time is drawing nigh that he must die. And he will take leave of his grandchildren, and he will take leave of his children. And the dying words of Joseph, of Jacob, will be recorded as what we said, a spirit of prophecy. Not found in Abraham's life, not found in Isaac's life, but in the last days of Jacob, he spoke these words. And it's significant. What did he say? From verse 1 to 7, he recounted his life. He recounted his faith in God, his encounter with God. And from verse 8 all the way to the end of the chapter, he speaks to his children and grandchildren, so that they too may imbibe the faith that God has given to him. So that that faith, that blessing from God, a covenant blessing, would be passed from one generation to another generation. That there will be no broken line. Of course, as you look at the history of Israel, we see that after the death of Joshua, there was a line that was broken. The people of Israel began to go after other gods. There was one generation of Israelites that did not do their duty. They did not stand in the gap, so that the generation that comes after did not continue the faith. And how important it is as a people of God, as we read and study the life of a patriarch like Jacob, it behooves us to learn and to put into practice also the faith that God has given us, that we may in our lifetime seek to impart it to our children. And how can we do so? Well, our life with God, where we have experienced the grace and the purpose and the closeness of God guiding us in our lives through the many milestones in our life. That was what Jacob did when he recounted his own life. And it came to pass, verse 1 of our text says, after these things, that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And so he took his sons Manasseh and Ephraim, and one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Joseph and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon his bed. It was there that he came to meet the son came to meet him. And Joseph and Jacob, verse 3 says, said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." Straight away, Jacob went to the point And he recounted his blessed encounter with God when he first left his father's house. His father Isaac first blessed him with God's covenant promise made to the family. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 3. And God Almighty blessed thee. These are the words of Isaac to Jacob. Verse 1 says, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him, and said unto him, take thou not the wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham, and to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherewith thou art the stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. This was a blessing that God gave to Jacob through his father Isaac. And Isaac sends Jacob away. Genesis 28 verse 5. And he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. So that was a significant part of Jacob's life. His father blessed him with the covenant blessing that God gave to the father, that the children may continue to follow and worship the living and true God. And verse 13 of Genesis 28, when he was out on his own, how the Lord met with him. He dreamed a dream, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, angels ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and of God of Isaac. The land where which thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and I will keep you wherever you will go. What a promise that God gives to his people. It is the same promise that is given to us today. And Jacob woke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And so in his dying moments, he recalled what God had done for him. And verse 19 of Genesis 28, and he called the name of the place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So the first thing that Jacob reminded himself and reminded Joseph was how God appeared unto him. Verse 3 of Genesis 48, at Luz in the land of Canaan, and bless me. The time when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts, and the spiritual blessings from God comes upon us, and we know it when we begin this spiritual journey, this life with God. What a great blessing it is The Apostle Paul described it for us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 to 14. Would you turn there? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." We are chosen by the Father. Chosen. Your coming to know Christ, coming to become a Christian, coming to be separated unto God in the local assembly of God's people was not by chance. It was by the appointment of God. God has chosen you according as it has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without Him, blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. In other words, your coming to faith is not by chance. It was by the predetermination of God, even before the foundation of the world. So that you may understand that your life on this earth is not a dismal chance. You're not an amoeba that forms itself and transforms itself to who you are. But you have been gloriously and wondrously wrought by God, chosen, predestinated to be the children of the Most High God, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise and glory of His grace, of His blessing, of His favor that He brings to you, that we should be accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have been redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We are not only a people called out from sin, chosen by the Father, but we are also a privileged people called out from sin unto holiness. We are purchased by the Son, chosen by the Father and purchased by the Son, a purchased people, wherein He hath abounded toward us all wisdom and prudence. In other words, when you come to know God in Christ and you have your sins forgiven, God gives you a new way of life. He gives you wisdom and all prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. So in our weekly this week, we said, beware of earthly entanglements. Beware of earthly entanglements. As the world reels upon an unsustainable debt burden, for the people of God, let us not set our hearts upon riches. Solomon says, riches certainly makes themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. The way by which the world enslaves its citizens is through an unsustainable debt burden. And this comes through financial commitments that require massive borrowings from the bank, so that the wisdom of God's word will give to us the understanding that we may not be enslaved. We might not have our life sold to the devil, so that for the next 30 years, 40 years of our life, we spend all our time trying to repay our installments, so that we would go all out, so much so that life becomes the pursuit of the idolatry of a place upon this earth.
No, dear friends, God gives us wisdom that we should be living above that. Above that. So that we would see the things of this world for what they are. Fleeting, transient, temporal. So that we won't set our hearts upon these perishing things that will disappoint us. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven and in earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. So, not only are we chosen by the Father, a privileged people called out from sin unto holiness, but we are purchased by the Son, a purchased people in intimate fellowship with God, and sealed by the Spirit of God, a protected people destined for heaven. What does it mean? It means that we would love God and we would serve Him and we would not be cowed by anything that threatens to come between us and our faith to fulfill the word, the will of God for us in our lives. Truly, Jacob lived a life of faith, and he will depart in faith. Our memory verse, Hebrews 11 verse 21, says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. So what did he do before he died? He was worshipping God. In other words, he was transiting himself from earth to heaven in not much of a transition. In other words, there, here on earth, he was in fellowship, intimate communion with God, and in that instant he was transported to his everlasting abode, everlasting home. You know, for a man who does not know God, in that last moment, where would that transition be? Well, to a place of horror, to a place of terror, to a place for the departed dead, where there is grinding, gnashing of teeth, a most frightening place. But for the people of God, we know where we are going. And before we go, what was the burden in the heart of Jacob? It was to bless his children. It was to help them so that his children would choose to obey and follow God. You see, why was Joseph and his two children mentioned first? Have you ever wondered why Jacob would have the audience of Joseph? Well, we know that Joseph was the one who gave them this place of rest, this place of Goshen and comfort. But why Manasseh and Ephraim were there first? They were already in Egypt when Jacob and the rest of her family came. I'd like to give you that contrast, you see. When Jacob and the rest of the family came into Egypt, Joseph and his sons were already living that high life of Egypt. they were living, we may say, in the most luxurious place, in the most prosperous empire on earth at that time. So we may say that they had the best of everything. Right, like we said, the best gadgets, the best clothes, the best books, the best of appearance, the best clothes, the best education in Egypt. And if you contrast with the others, the cousins, who are they? Well, they all look after sheep. They had nothing. They were shepherds with their long beards, with their long robes, very rough, uncouth. Ephraim and Manasseh will look very different from the rest of the grandchildren of Jacob. But when Israel finally will leave Egypt in the Exodus, you'll find that Manasseh and Ephraim, the descendants and family, too would uproot themselves and leave behind Egypt to follow the people of God. What were they doing when they leave Egypt in the Exodus? To worship the living and true God. They have understood. They have understood the faith. And they have understood the eternal values, the eternal prospects, the eternal blessings, the real blessings. And they were able to see. And so this encounter that Joseph had with Jacob by bringing the two sons would impact the life of Manasseh and Ephraim eternally. Right? They were living that aristocratic, princely life with all its privileges. You see, when we choose to walk with God, when we choose to obey Christ and follow Him, Jesus says that we are to take up the cross, come after Him, denying ourselves. Jesus says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Mark 8, verse 34 to 35. Jacob, in his last moments, impressed upon the sons of Joseph concerning God's blessing. And also, through Jacob, God is going to give to the sons of Joseph a double blessing. In other words, only these two grandchildren will receive a lot in the promised land. Manasseh and Ephraim, the sons of Joseph, would have their tribes allotted a portion in the promised land. And the Lord, through Joseph, Jacob, is going to pronounce that blessing upon the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim. And so here we would like to see how the Lord, through Jacob, would entice would bless the posterity so that they would understand their spiritual root, their origin, and that they will not depart of it from it, but they would be willing to forsake all to follow their God. Faith renewed, verse 8 to 22. Verse 8 says, "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, 'Who are these?' And Joseph said to his father, 'They are my sons, whom God has given me in this place.' And he said, 'Bring them, I pray thee, and I will bless them.'" How important it is that we would bring our children so that they would be blessed of spiritual blessings from our forefathers. How important it is. This Joseph did. Joseph came to see his father, and Joseph brought the children to the father. Verse 10, "Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see, and he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, 'I had not thought to see thy face. Lo, God has showed me also thy seed.' Indeed, Jacob had thought for a long time his beloved son was dead, and he will not see him again. But this was not so." So in his dying moments, this was the thing that gave him so much comfort in the last 17 years of his life. He rejoiced and was glad that God had been gracious to him, not only to be united with Joseph, but to also enjoy the company of Joseph's children. So Joseph brought them from between his knees and bowed himself with the face of the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. But Ephraim was the younger, and his left on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands unwittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And Joseph saw and said, "Not right. The elder should be first." But the father knew. The father understood. The father refused, verse 19 says, and said, "I know it, my son, I know it." But he was blind, his eyes were very dim. How is it that he was able to see and pronounce the blessing according to the will of God? Well, it was the Spirit of God that guided him. For we will know that Ephraim will be the stronger tribe. Ephraim will have its lot in Canaan. But Manasseh will be the weaker tribe, because the tribe will be split between the two sides of the Jordan River. Right? They have a half tribe on the one side of Jordan, and the other tribe on the other side. So through Jacob, he was able to prophesy and see what will be the future for the two children. And so he crossed hands and blessed on his right hand the head of Ephraim, the younger. Although it displeased Joseph, but that was God's purpose. Ephraim would be a more numerous tribe than Manasseh. And this was the blessing that God gave. That the blessings and the gifts would differ from one to another according to God's sovereign will. And yet you know that God's blessing came upon both the children. Verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day, the angel which has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow in the multitudes in the midst of the earth. What a blessing it is. Spiritual blessings from God. Dear friends, do you seek spiritual blessings from God? Or do you seek for temporal blessings of this world? Well, we seek spiritual blessings from God. And what does it entail? Well, it entails us putting Him first. Putting Him first means putting Him first in our daily walk. When we wake up in the morning, He's first in our lives. When we go to sleep, He's first in our lives. In our daily endeavor, He's placed first in our lives. In the time of exams, He's first in our lives. Not exams first. We don't worship exams, but we worship the living and true God. And let us have a right understanding so that we will receive the right blessings from God. May the Lord help us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And here, verse 20 says, and he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die. But God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. There was a blessing to Joseph. Two portions of the promised land. And, you know, he said it, and this will come to pass. God's blessing. And how would Israel receive that blessing? The two grandsons received that blessing. Well, they have to come out of Egypt. They have to forsake Egypt. They have to count. They have to come, as Jesus says, after me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to put him first, so that we may truly be blessed of him for his own honor and glory. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy grace in our lives. Strengthen us for thy Holy Spirit, by thy Holy Spirit, and bless our devotion for thy own honor and glory. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.